Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. Today we follow the order of morning prayer on page 235 in the Lutheran Service Book. The text is Genesis chapter 42, verses 1 through 38. The Reverend Mark Robbie is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS, International Mission and Ministry.
A reading from Genesis chapter 42. When Jacob learned that there was grain for sale in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you look at one another?" And he said, "Behold, I have heard that there is grain for sale in Egypt. Go down and buy grain for us there, that we may live and not die." So 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with his brothers, for he feared that harm might happen to him. Thus the sons of Israel came to buy among the others who came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Now Joseph was governor over the land. He was the one who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed themselves before him with their faces to the ground. Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he treated them like strangers and spoke roughly to them. "Where do you come from?" he said. They said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." And Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. And Joseph remembered the dream that he had dreamed of them. And he said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see the nakedness of the land." They said to him, "No, my lord, your servants have come to buy food. We are all sons of one man. We are honest men. Your servants have never been spies." He said to them, "No, it is the nakedness of the land that you have come to see." And they said, "We are your servants, our 12 brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is no more." But Joseph said to them, "It is as I said to you, you are spies. By this you shall be tested by the life of Pharaoh. You shall not go from this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of you and let them bring your brother while you remain confined, that your words may be tested whether there is truth in you. Or else, by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies." And he put them all together in custody for 3 days. On the third day, Joseph said to them, "Do this, and you will live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers remain confined where you are in custody, and let the rest go and carry grain for the famine of your households, and bring your youngest brother to me, so your words will be verified, and you shall not die." And they did so. They said to one another, "In truth, we are guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the distress of his soul when he begged us, and we did not listen. That is why this distress has come upon us." And Reuben answered them, "Did I not tell you not to sin against the boy? Did you not listen? So now there comes a reckoning for his blood." They did not know that Joseph understood them, for there was an interpreter between them. Then he turned away from them and wept. And he returned to them and spoke to them, and he took Simeon from them and bound him before their eyes. And Joseph gave orders to fill their bags with grain and to replace every man's money in his sack and to give them provisions for the journey. This was done for them. Then they loaded their donkeys with their grain and departed. And as one of them opened his sack to give his donkey fodder at the lodging place, he saw his money in the mouth of the sack. And he said to his brothers, "My money has been put back. Here it is in the mouth of my sack." At this, their hearts failed them, and they turned trembling to one another, saying, "What is this that God has done to us?" When they came to Jacob, their father, in the land of Canaan, they told him all that had happened to them, saying, "The man, the lord of the land, spoke roughly to us and took us to be spies of the land. But we said to him, 'We are honest men. We have never been spies. We are 12 brothers, sons of our father. One is no more, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan.' Then the man, the lord of the land, said to us, 'By this I shall know that you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers with me, and take grain for the famine of your households, and go your way. Bring your youngest brother to me, then I shall know that you are not spies, but honest men, and I will deliver your brother to you, and you shall trade in the land.' As they emptied their sacks, behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when they They and their father saw their bundles of money. They were afraid. And Jacob, their father, said to them, "You have bereaved me of my children. Joseph is no more, and Simeon is no more, and now you would take Benjamin. All this has come against me." Then Reuben said to his father, "Kill my two sons if I do not bring him back to you. Put him in my hands, and I will bring him back to you." But he said, "My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is the only one left. If harm should happen to him on the journey that you are to make, you would bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to Sheol." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, as Joseph had predicted earlier, famine hits the land of Canaan. And Jacob, having heard there is grain in Egypt, sends his sons to buy much so that the family might not die, but live. Jacob's lost Joseph and now has become exceedingly protective of his youngest son, Benjamin. The result that over the next few chapters in Genesis, there will be a tension between Egypt and Canaan, between Joseph and Jacob, with Joseph trying to get Benjamin down to Egypt, while Jacob endeavors to keep him in Canaan. So the brothers then journey to Egypt minus Benjamin. Yesterday, I was able to go visit a dear pastor, Pastor Virgil, who's very supportive of missions, and had us over at his house last year for my birthday with a few other folks, and invited our children. And so yesterday, out in the rain, out on the lake, the two boys of mine, my oldest and my youngest, Matthias and Noah, got to enjoy being spun around the whole lake on a donut. And Virgil was the captain of the boat. And he took great pleasure in having fun. Whenever the boys felt a little comfortable on top of the donut at the back of the boat, he would suddenly hit the brakes and they would go zooming backwards off the donut. The second time they learned. But around and around they would go all around the lake, and Virgil took great joy in having fun with them, playing with them, seeing if he could get them to have a little confidence on the back of that donut, and then perhaps whip them off the back. So when the brothers come to Egypt, Joseph starts his game, which begins by some fun at his brother's expense. It's nothing new. We've seen this in Genesis already. Deception, having fun at the expense of others. It's the kind of thing that runs in the family. Abraham had deceived Pharaoh by claiming to be Sarah's brother. Isaac had deceived Abimelech by pretending to be Rebekah's brother. Jacob deceived Isaac by pretending to be Esau. Leah pretended to be Rachel, thereby deceiving Jacob. The Bible, in a sense, almost revels in this sort of thing. Indeed, our eternal salvation itself will involve a massive act of deception in which, by the wisdom of God, Satan is deceived. And then in the fullness of time, by our Lord's death, that deception comes. Jesus' death on the cross. Satan doesn't win. Without knowing who Joseph is, the brothers prostrate themselves before Joseph. He recognizes their act as a fulfillment of the dream he had long before, two decades earlier to be precise. Yet even while deceiving his brother, Joseph manages to catch up on the news back home. He plays with him so that he can hear, how is his brother, how is his father, what is the news back home. It's been a long time after all. And he learns that Jacob and Benjamin are still alive. And then he plays his card when they mention Benjamin. On the pretense of checking out their story, he insists that Benjamin should be brought down to Egypt. And he throws them then in jail for 3 days so that they might reflect on that. But this game has a purpose. It's not just to hear about his father or his brother. Joseph's trying to learn whether or not his brothers have changed. Are they still the same villains who tried to get rid of him years before? Have their minds and hearts been altered since that fateful day? And so he puts pressure on them. He must find out, yet he finally shows them a bit of mercy. There are two things we might note in these encounters that Joseph has with his brothers. First, Joseph understands everything. He knows what they're saying. They don't realize he knows their language. They don't recognize him. The brothers, imagining they're dealing with an Egyptian, don't have a clue. From their conversation, Joseph ascertains they're still trying to deal with that sin that has been with them, what they did to their brother so long ago. Joseph is joking at their expense and apparently having some fun at it. And at the same time, however, is hard hit by his own feelings as he sees what is going on with his brothers. You see that at the end of the story with Joseph as well. Am I God? And so, overcome with emotion, he must retire for a bit in order to weep and grieve over his brothers. And then secondly, unlike his brothers, Joseph is aware how long the famine will last. He knows the duration. He knows, therefore, that they will eventually be back. In order to guarantee it, he seizes Simeon, the second oldest, and Joseph has just learned that indeed the oldest, Reuben, had tried to save him. Had tried to save him at his abduction. Reuben wasn't as bad as he had thought. And so now Joseph puts a new twist on the game. His return of their money puts this generosity on his part, puts his brothers in a situation. They're terrified. What shall we do? It may appear they fear they have run off without paying. And this governor is not a man to be reckoned with. How will they ever explain that they neglected to pay? And in this game, Joseph does everything he can to keep his brothers off balance, and within three chapters will reduce them to quivering bundles of insecurity. And so whatever arrogance or unrepentance or hardness of heart is still in them will be completely gone before Joseph is finished. When they get home, the brothers recount the whole story, an instant replay, so to speak, that allows us to savor the irony of the situation. And then they finish their account with the distressing news that Benjamin must come back on their next trip, and it's too much for Jacob. Now everybody is out of kilter. Very protective of Benjamin, Jacob almost seems resigned to the loss of Simeon. Everything is lost. And then Reuben, very strange his reaction, almost loses his mind, offers up his two grandsons, take them, kill them, and so that you can be certain if I don't bring them back, do something to my sons. Everything's in a spin. And no matter what Jacob says, Joseph is quite certain they'll be back. After all, he knows how long the famine will last. And in a sense, Jacob holds all the good cards. Joseph holds all the good cards. But what do we do of this? In all of it, we see how the Lord works to save his people. Joseph had been sold into slavery due to his brother's envy, jealousy, and anger. And yet, not all were as hard-hearted as Joseph thought. God used them so that eventually Jacob and his whole family would be saved. It was all in God's timing. And as we shall hear tomorrow, in the fullness of time, God shall, through his wisdom, bring about the salvation of all people by the death and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. But for now, we, like Jacob, may think all is coming to ruin, as Jacob has lost Joseph and Simeon, and in his thinking, Benjamin will be lost too. Jacob thinks, I'm going to go down to the grave grieving. But the best is yet to come. A joyful reunion in the chapters ahead, and a land of promise as well. And so the same is for you and for all who trust and cling to Christ Jesus by faith. While life in this valley of tears may be a trial and a grief, there is a land of promise and a joyful reunion yet to come because of the Son, much better than Joseph, who has conquered sin and death and the devil for you. And therefore, you can be confident that in this life you have life. And on the last day, there shall be a blessed reunion with those who have died in the faith, and that the new heavens and new earth will indeed be much better than this gray old place, or better than Goshen. For there the Lamb will be on his throne, and sin and death will be no more. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.